Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging around with us today. It's always a pleasure to be part of your day, and it's actually a dream come true for me. Max Schultz is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Max is senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute. You know that organization very well. We have a number of our Brain Trust members are from the Manhattan Institute, and Max is in charge of the Center for Energy Policy there at the Manhattan Institute. He had quite a significant career in the Department of Energy, in the United States Department of Energy. He also had a career earlier with an organization that you and I, several folks that you and I know over at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. He's our new friend. Max, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it.
It's good to have you here. You wrote an article that was just published called Pandering at the Pump, and it talks about what I consider to be, I don't think you use the word feckless in your article, but if I'd been helping you, I would have made you stick that word in somewhere. The politician's feckless attempt, and pandering is, to use your term, attempt to make a difference to manipulate us, really is the term I think it should be used, to try to do something about what's going on, the high prices of petroleum. And what I thought that happened, when I see how politicians, Max, react to this, to especially congressional politicians, is it just solidifies in my mind what I have believed for a long time, and that is that most national politicians don't have a clue as to how the marketplace works. What do you think?
Well, that certainly seems to be the case with regard to these gasoline price issues. You're absolutely right. Feckless is the word, Jim. But 2 weeks ago, when Congress discovered the gasoline prices were high and that they had to do something about it, then the hysteria broke out. Speaker of the House, Denny Hastert, and the Senate Majority Leader, Bill Frist, and this is the thinking that represents the kind of official Republican thinking on these issues in the Congress, they sent a letter to the President suggesting that he had to really crack down on the price gougers and the folks who are manipulating the price and distorting the market, because that's their explanation for why gas prices are high. It has nothing to do with market forces.
Right.
It has everything to do with dark forces.
Well, how many people have you heard over the years? The first person who told me this was one of my history teachers way back in the 60s when I was in college, who said, there really not isn't a nickel worth the difference between the Republicans and the Democrats. I thought it was crazy in those days, but I think if I ever doubted it before, I think Hastert and Frist convinced me this week.
Well, it certainly looks like it with regard to those guys. There's no question about
There's
that.
There's not much difference. I mean, those two guys sound a lot like Democrats, don't they?
They really do. It's funny because every time the price of gas has spiked up, and it does from time to time because it's it's subject to the laws of supply and demand, and prices fluctuate. Every time they've fluctuated upwards, you've had folks in Congress who've called for investigations in antitrust violations into price gouging, things like this. Commissions are set up. The Federal Trade Commission is invoked. We saw this in the fall right after the hurricanes when prices went up. We've seen it. We saw it 10 years ago when prices went up, and President Clinton was calling for the same sort of thing. And the funny thing is, every time this happens, the government is unable to ever find any instances of price gouging, market manipulation, anything like that, because as it turns out, it really is a matter of supply and demand.
On behalf, though, of all the gas-buying consumers out there, Max, I have to say this, because they would run me out of town on a rail if I don't come back with this response. It does seem awfully interesting that when we're having record gas prices, gas companies are having record profits, not just for them, but for in the history of the marketplace, record profits. Now,
right.
You got to admit that it's at a minimum unseemly.
Well, I will say this. A lot of people see the record profits that companies like ExxonMobil and Chevron and whatnot are making, and then they look at the high prices and they say, well, that's the reason they're making record profits, because they're charging us high prices. in a lot of respects, it's the other way around. The reason that the oil companies are making great profits is because the prices are so high. And by prices, I mean the price of crude oil, which dictates the price of gasoline. Let me explain to you. You know, as oil is traded on the global market, it's the biggest market in the world.
Because petroleum is the oxygen of the marketplace.
It's the oxygen of economic growth.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of years ago, in 2003, the average price of a barrel of oil, which is traded in places like London and Hong Kong and Tokyo and Texas and all over the world, the average price of a barrel of crude oil was $28. That was the average price in 2003.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's almost three times that. It's around $75. Well, that rise, and it's not a rise which is dictated by the oil companies, that rise is largely responsible for the run-up in gasoline prices. The oil companies have been, you know, to their credit, positioned very well to profit from it. But they're not causing the price. They're profiting from it. If they could determine the price of oil, they never would have let the price of a barrel of oil go to $10 a barrel, which is what it was trading at in 1998. You know, these prices, they go up and they go down.
It does seem that and what I wonder about is what are the companies doing with those profits? Are they doing anything to serve their customers in the future? Look, Max, I mean, my audience knows I'm a free trader capitalist to my marrow. And so, you know, I believe that the capitalism is a good thing and will come nearer saving the world. It'll be the predecessor to saving the world rather than democracy, I think. What are these companies doing? What is the industry doing to work on alternative fuels, on conservation? What are they doing about that? Do you know anything about that?
Well, I mean, I know they have a number of initiatives here, but chiefly what they're doing with the vast sums of money that they're bringing in, and they're bringing in vast sums of money. I mean, in this last quarter, ExxonMobil, which announced $8 million in profits, that was on $80 billion, $8 billion in profits. That was on $80 billion in revenues. What they're doing with the
that's
with the
10%.
Larger,
profit. That's very high.
That's 10% profit margin. It's not all that high. It's actually about it's right in line with
small business owners make 2% net profit on the bottom line. They've hit a home run.
True, but ExxonMobil is not a small business. So.
Well, that boy howdy, is that ever true? Stand by. We're going to be right back with Max Schultz when we come back after these messages. And I'm going to ask Max when we come back, how much of the price of petroleum that you and I are paying is not supply and demand, but is actually speculation? 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Max Schultz. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you can. And actually, you ought to do that today if you haven't already. And it's a newsletter that comes by email every Sunday, gets you ready for the week ahead. And also, we have our blog there, which is available to you Monday through Friday, actually 7 days a week, but we update it Monday through Friday, and we'll send it to you each one of those days if you want to subscribe to it. We'll send it to you by Real Simple Syndication. And don't forget all the other things that you can do there. Max Schultz is our guest, and Max is he's in charge of the Center for Energy Policy at the Manhattan Institute, and we're talking about petroleum prices. And Max, you want to give us the Manhattan Institute website, please?
Sure. It is www.manhattan-institute.org, and I encourage everyone to check it out.
And his last name is spelled S-C-H-U-L-Z, no T in Schultz. Max, a while back, about a year ago, actually, our friend Steve Forrest was on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then not long before that, one of our economists, Richard DeCaser, was on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And both of them, without realizing the other said it, estimated that maybe 25% of the price we're paying for petroleum, and this was over a year ago, was not supply and demand as much as it was speculation. What do you think?
I think there's probably some truth to it, what that number is. A lot of the world's oil comes from very, very unstable parts of the world. The OPEC countries that obviously come to mind, Saudi Arabia and Iran, Iraq, Venezuela, and Nigeria. You know, we produce a fair amount of oil in the United States, and a fair amount is produced in Canada. But still, a lot of it comes from unstable parts of the world. And the price of oil, I think, reflects some of the uncertainty about the political problems that have arisen around the world, particularly in the Middle East. So I think that might be fair to say that the speculation, you know, accounts for a fairly large percentage of the price of a barrel of crude oil. And that's the way the market works.
Is it possible? And I don't want to get too far off in the weeds here on this, but is it possible that you think that some of the oil producing countries who are not doing enough, maybe even contributing to some of the problems in Iraq, there are not doing enough to solve the problems in Iraq, that they have economic reasons for wanting to do that?
I think so. Let me say something, and this goes back to our question about the oil companies and about how oil is produced. We talk about big oil. We talk about Exxon and Chevron and whatnot as these mammoth, gargantuan companies, and they are very big. But if you look at the global market, all total, private companies account for, I think, just 20% of the world's oil reserves. It's the state-owned oil companies, mm-hmm. Saudi Aramco and the governments of Venezuela and Nigeria, that account for the lion's share of the oil that's produced around the world. Countries like the OPEC countries are kind of famous for passing quotas on the members to limit production.
Right.
For years, they weren't very good at keeping to those quotas. It was kind of the gang that could shoot straight, and many of the OPEC members cheated on their quotas and kind of undermined their efforts to control the world price. They've gotten a lot better at that in recent years, and I think that's one of the reasons why we've seen a run-up in crude oil prices, because OPEC is exerting a little bit of discipline. There's no question that the Saudi government, for instance, could increase its supply to the world market quite a bit. And that's, you know, when you talk about the tension between supply and demand, a big part of it is coming there. We're seeing demand go up in India and in China, mm-hmm. and even in the United States, because our economy is actually doing fairly well.
So what's the answer to all this, Max?
Well,
if you're you know, we've already determined that we're not, obviously not going to get any help out of Congress, folks. Whenever members of Congress offer you $100, I hope you're insulted. I hope you're disappointed in anybody who would do that.
Yeah, didn't George McGovern make a similar campaign pledge?
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. I mean, I'm so disappointed in those guys. So that's not the answer. I mean, that's just such a joke. That is to me. It's embarrassing to me. I've never been so embarrassed for another human being as I am for those guys when they make these kind of comments. But Max, you're now the leader of the free world, maybe even of the world. What would you do about it?
Well, I don't know if that's the dirty little secret. The leader of the free world doesn't have all that much leverage here. The market is a whole lot bigger than George Bush's or than any
right.
particular leader. But there are things that we in the United States can do. There's no silver bullet, but what we certainly can do, which would help quite a bit, would be to open up those areas in the United States that are presently off limits to domestic oil production and open them. We know, for instance, that we have, and this is a conservative estimate, 10 billion barrels of oil in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge in Alaska, and that is off limits. We can't drill it. We know mm-hmm. that we have untold millions, if not billions, of barrels of oil offshore in the Outer Continental Shelf off of Florida and California. That's presently off limits. If we, you know, produce those resources, it would have a fairly dramatic effect. Now, critics will tell you that, well, you know, it's such a small amount compared to the overall world market that it won't have any effect. But it's actually that little area operating on the margin which would have a profound effect.
Right. Max, we've got to wrap it up. Thank you for being here today. Will you come back another day?
Absolutely, Jim.
We got a lot more to talk about. Max Schultz, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, Max. We'll see you next time. Quick break, right back with Joel Barker, ladies and gentlemen, the co-author of Five Regions of the Future. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this show is brought to you by IBM, Office Depot, and Administaff.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.